Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another edition of the LMAYT podcast, the Let Me Ask You This podcast, brought to you by Eastside Legal, LLP. If you live in the East Nashville area, the greater Nashville area, or just within driving distance of Nashville, and you have legal issues, stop by Eastside Legal, LLP. Our attorneys with over 20 years of experience can help you with bankruptcy law, criminal law, or divorce and family law. That's Eastside Legal, LLP. Jonathan, are you here?
I'm here, and I can vouch for them as well.
All right. Yes. All right. Well, this is our second episode with the sponsor, so that's good. And our second episode with some intro music. Still working the bugs out of that, so we'll see how that goes moving forward. But, enough about that. It's been a couple weeks since we've been together on the pod, so are you ready to dive in to last week's heartbreaking? Okay, and then, well, let's jump into it. So last week, two weeks ago, as Titans fans, great feeling. We beat the Jags on Thursday Night Football. That's not as big of a deal, but it was the way that we beat them. I mean, good teams put bad teams away, and I feel like that's what we did. And not that we're a good team, but it was nice to have a game that didn't make you nervous, you know?
Correct.
And then a week later, fast forward, and we come out flat, and I feel as if I don't know if we're better than the Chargers, but I don't know if they're better than us either. And it seemed like we did not play, as well as we could have. So, let's do a quick review of last week's game.
Some observations. I first want to mention for the fans listening that we have never beaten the Chargers in San Diego since before the 90s. So that put that into your back of your mind. It's an almost impossible thing to do, and I do not even remember it in my lifetime.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I mean, because we don't play them that much, so it's not as bad as it may sound. And when we do play them, they have to come to Tennessee. But what do you think it is? I mean, is it the flight? Because, I mean, there are other West Coast teams we play.
I don't know what it is. Because even before Philip Rivers got there, for those who also can remember the time that Drew Brees was the quarterback there, we just still couldn't beat them. And I don't know what but we can beat San Francisco. It's so weird. We've beaten San Francisco same time. We've beaten the Raiders same time, no problem. But it's something about the Chargers. And I think what it is the same problem that we're going through right now temporarily with the Indianapolis. I think when you have such a long losing streak against the team, that over time, as a player, even when a player says, oh, it's a new year, it's a new game, and we're a new team, you still can't get away from that. Like, it's still in the back of your mind. And the closer you get to trying to beat them, the more you focus on so much about, I don't want to make a mistake, I don't want to ruin this, that I think that tension leads you to making mistakes, that cost you games. And I think the other team that you have the losing streak on, they come in basically with house money. Yeah. They come in there knowing that I've beaten this team. We have a history of beating this team. And the fans are behind it knowing we always beat this team, It's like how the Vols had problems with the Gators, There are so many years where the Vols were a much better team than the Florida Gators were on paper, but they still could not beat them until like this year. And as part of it it's just everybody telling you when you go to the grocery store. So are you guys going to beat the Gators this year? Just like Titan. So are you guys going to beat the freaking Chargers this year? Or you go to church and people say that. Or you see somebody on the street and people say that. And you just kind of get sitting in the back of your mind. I think on paper, we are a much superior team than the Chargers.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. Let's get into the game. I agree. I think there is momentum, and even if you are not around for when a streak starts, you know, when you don't, it may not be something you care about, but if you live in a community and you feel the, you know, people are talking to you, like you said, you do start to feel the weight of a streak. But I guess, I don't know. I was really disappointed in our defense in terms of getting pressure. Now, I know Phillip Rivers gets rid of the ball quickly, so I don't, I mean, I know some of it's him, but it just seemed as if we were, you know, it's one thing to not get pressure on the quarterback. It's another thing to let a running back run for almost 200 yards on you. And
yeah, the running back situation, that was unexpected.
Yeah, I did not.
That was really unexpected.
Like Melvin Gordon, I mean, he's definitely been better this year than last year. Like, it looked like he was going to be a bust last year, and now we know he was injured. But yeah, but he's not 200 yards. I don't think he's that good, and I don't think our defense is that bad. But I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know what it is. I'm honestly, I'm gonna tell you what it is. I can pinpoint. And here's what it is that Antonio Gates. And I know it's weird for me to, like, we're talking about running back, and I first thought that was a tight end. But, like, I think that the problem we had is in the history of this series between us and the Chargers, Antonio Gates has routinely destroyed us. And I think that the team had so much focus on making sure or trying to make sure that Antonio Gates didn't destroy us, that they overcompensated because we're not that big in certain areas in the back end as far as our linebacker position and as far as the secondary. And I think they kept a little people shading over to double coverage, and then kind of when they ran the ball, a lot of times the big runs seem to be on the opposite side of where Antonio Gates was at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where it was like where the linebackers were so focused on one particular side to make sure they didn't get beat by play action, that it was more like relying upon secondary guys to do Melvin Gordon, which routinely during the season that's worked completely. And I don't know what happened. The tackling was like bad this game. It was really bad this game.
Well, I will say this: that last drive and I think we texted, you know, in our group text about this, that last drive where it looked like, you know, we had them in third and four or so,
yeah.
And it looked like, hey, if we can stop them here, we can get, you know, and you know, we could get the ball back and have a shot, and then Gordon breaks it for about 39, 40 yards.
Yeah.
I think our defense was tired at that point. I mean,
I think they were tired.
I think by the fourth quarter, I think it was more fatigue than it was any like coaching or, you know, talent issue or anything like that. But I think early on, they just didn't have it. And
yeah, I think they got tired. I think they was tired. I know for a fact we're going to discuss this moment, but I think that turnover that occurred prior to that moment was backbreaking, you know.
Yeah.
Like I do think that turnover towards the end would shift the score.
Are you talking about the interception?
Yeah, I'm talking about
that. Yeah, it was run back by Flowers. You know, it's interesting when I watched the interception. I'm like, what was Mariota doing? And but like the days afterwards, you know, Kendall Wright and even Malarkey has pointed out that Kendall did not run the route as precisely as he should have, and it wasn't Mariota's fault. And that doesn't necessarily make us feel better or change the score. But I am glad that I guess it does make me feel better in that it wasn't Mariota making a bad decision, because if you just watch, it looks like a bad throw, like
But Kendall's not the best. I mean, that's the one thing about it. We got you know, Kendall is not the best route runner. He's just not. He's a playmaker. He's a great freelancer. He's a great freelancer, which is what we need, which is why he works so good in the slot. He's just not the greatest route runner. Do I think Mariota should have made that throw? I still, even what everybody's saying, I still do not think he should have made that throw. But I think it was a late throw on the opposite end, and he had a lot in his face on that side. Like if you go back and watch it, there was a lot in his face on the side, and I don't think he should have thrown. He should have thrown it. But you know what's crazy is that's not the play that bothers me though, of the turnovers. But that's not the play that bothers me. The play that bothers me was that stupid freaking option call. The one that called the first fumble?
Yeah. Yeah.
That stupid, of all the plays and with all the turnovers, you know, like the one that gets me more than anything else is the option call. Because I can't really blame, like a lot of people like David Mariota on it, you know, he did fumble it. But here's the problem with that. That call should never been called because our running game was stuck the entire time and you ran it in a formation where you're going to have, because you ran that option play out of a one wide receiver set. It's like three tight ends on that day.
Yeah.
Like one wide receiver set.
To the short side of the field as well. Like it wasn't.
Exactly.
It was like, I think my issue is
on the heavy side. It's like you run an option play on the heavy side of the play in a three tight end set where defense is like, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a run. You know, so like,
yeah.
So when he takes off doing his little run, like it was already freaking five or six defenders on that side. So the likelihood is that was not going to work. You know, so he had like five or six defenders. Like he stupidly, because he's still young, he stupidly tried to fake it like he was going to throw the ball, try to get more yards. You know, trying to hand off the ball, trying to get more yards, which the ball got poked out. I do agree that was stupid. But he shouldn't have been that, it shouldn't have had that play call. That was not going to work. And I think that's one thing, you know, and that's probably going to be our theme of the season, is that I have seen like amazingly creative play calling that I have not seen in a long time from this team this season.
Yeah.
Forever. But every once in a while, we get too cute. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we get too cute on the plays. Like there's a couple of like, you know, option stuff that we throw in games. I look at it and I'm like, really? Why did we do this? You know, it causes to lose a lot of yardage. Well, you can look at the formation and tell they probably shouldn't call that. And the thing is, I don't know. I can't tell if they've given Mariota the option to call to check out of plays. Like sometimes I can't tell. I can tell from watching the games that he has control over, you know, where the line's blocking and adjusting the blocking schemes. I've seen that.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about how much is he checking into and out of plays.
Yeah, I don't know. I know the ones where obviously the option plays, the run option pass plays are obviously Mariota's decision where he wants to, you know, if he wants to run the ball, kick the ball, pass the ball.
Well, well, I'll say this. It would make more sense to me if Mariota checked into that run play. Not, I mean, the play doesn't make sense, but it seems like I could see a young quarterback making that mistake in the middle of a game, like trying to catch a defense off guard, than Terry Rubisky, a guy who's been in the league long enough, is an offensive coordinator. I feel like he would know not to do that, you know?
But see, that's the thing about it. I think Terry Rubisky caught that play because that was the formation. Like, they didn't check out that formation. That formation was like, when you look at that formation, it was purely a run-the-ball formation. I knew that somebody was running. I did not know it was going to be an option. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
If you go back and watch that play, you can clearly tell they are running the ball. But the thing that you don't know is that he did not think it was going to be an option play. Because normally, if you're going to do a run option, you do a run option where it's a spread formation. You know what I'm saying? Because if you do a spread formation, like a four wide receiver set, the likelihood is that the defense is going to have way more. They're going to have nickel corners out there, you know, to guard these wide receivers. They kick out a linebacker, you know?
Yeah,
So if you're going to do an option, like you have a higher likelihood of success in an option out of the spread because basically you know there's like a less linebacker. So there's like a less of a spy.
I agree. I mean,
so if you do it, then like you get past that freaking corner, or if the corner freaking runs out because they think it's a run play, I mean, think it's a pass play, then you have an easier likelihood to gain yards. It doesn't make sense to run an option out of a run as a run formation, you know, because the linebackers are already assuming it's a run. Now obviously you have a great chance to play action, and but if all the flow is acting like it's a run play, you know, like the line, like the line's pushing off like it's a run, tight end the blocking like it's a run, you know, then your initial response is it's a run. So if you see the quarterback run out, like rolled out, like it's freaking like an option, then obviously you know the likelihood is he's going to run this ball. But when you have all these defenders already assuming run in a run formation where nobody has to worry about anybody dropping up into an outside, then they're going to run straight toward the quarterback.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Which means like even if in that formation, even if he would pass the ball off or hand the ball off to Murray, Murray wouldn't get a yard in that play because it was like seven or eight defenders on the side because they knew we were going to pass the ball. So what you should have done is if you were going to do something like that, you do a fake bootleg. You know what I'm saying? Like you basically roll out as a quarterback, like you're pretending to go on that side, right? And then what you do is you flip it around to go the other side. See?
You mean like a reverse?
Like a reverse.
Well, I get your point.
Like a reverse.
No, I mean some sort of deception that would be helpful. I get that. I just think I feel as if the play isn't so bad if he doesn't fumble on it. You know.
If he didn't fumble on it.
If he just loses, let's say, a yard on it, and you know, maybe that's not such a bad play. And maybe it helps set up something later, you know. But I think the fact that he fumbles. Do what?
I still want to pitch about that. Now, I do want to make another point about it. My other issue with that run and that formation. Here's my bigger issue with that option play.
Yeah.
My bigger issue with option play is this, and I know you can agree with me at this point, is that if you're doing an option play in that type of formation, you have an extreme likelihood of your quarterback getting like the crap knocked out of him.
No, you do, but and this is something, and you know, you and I, we're big fans of the Music City Miracles podcast. I forgot which one of them brought this up. May have been August, but I think he said that Mariota is really good at sliding. He may be the best slider of all time as a quarterback.
That's Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's good too. Yeah, and whether or not he's the best of all time, you know. That's not as relevant, but he does a good job of not getting killed, you know. And
he's done that much better this year. Like last year he did not. But he's learned. He is definitely learned. He is no longer trying to dive for his first down. He would now slide out. And I mean, that's one thing I kind of hate. He's doing it, but he would now slide. Well, I know if he ran a little bit farther, get a first down. He'll slide like right before the first down line.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I mean, if it's the playoffs, that's one thing, but if we're in New England and it's the third quarter, then yeah, maybe you got to go for it. But week nine,
yeah, but
I'm okay.
When he runs out on, you know, broken plays or when it's a passing play and he feels like I get more yards, I have zero problem with him running the ball that way. I also have zero problem with option plays.
Right, yeah.
You know, in a spread of formation. It's option plays in a run formation. Because that's when, you know, that's when, like, if he holds on to that ball, like, it's a big difference between a quarterback getting hit by a 5'8", you know what I'm saying, 200-pound cornerback, you know?
Yeah, no.
Because they have more corner versus a 6'3", 6'2", 240, like a linebacker coming at 4, you know, 4 or 5 foot speed.
No, I feel you on that. No, that makes sense. But I will say, I think overall, my big thing about our offense last week was, you know, giving up two touchdowns the other way, because we scored 35. I think, I feel like, I mean, if you put up 35, you should be able to win. But of course, if you give up two touchdowns going the other way, it's hard to win as well. So in terms of our point total, I'm happy with. I think the interception, the second interception that was a pick six,
that was devastating,
but it was situational. I think most, I think it was that happened because of the game, or the way the game was going. I think it was more that than anything else, because Mariota doesn't throw that pass. Flowers isn't that keyed up on that play if we weren't at that point in the game. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's not like a regular pick six. So,
That part agrees.
So, if we look at it.
We talk about a lot of negative stuff. Let's talk about positive.
Yeah.
I do want to say, from a positive standpoint, that the thing that did impress me, though, is that out of all the games that I've seen us play against the Chargers, in which we lost, like, this was the first game where we were still, even with the turnovers, and even with the fact that we initially started out, I mean, we were 16 down. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing, like, people need to point out. Like, we were, like, in that first quarter, like, I didn't think we were going to stop Philip Rivers. I thought they were going to, like, freaking, like, put up, like, 70 points, because he was, like, hitting on everything. And then we settled down, and even though we were down 16-0, like, we still came back, took the lead temporarily, And even after the first turnover, which led to a score, we still came back,
And
even after the second turnover, like, and they scored, we still came back. And we have, like what I like is, like, what I'm seeing from this team now is the older Titans teams never could come back, Like, if in the older Titans teams, if we were down 16-0, it was done. Like, you might as well just flip the script. Like, you might have a turn channel. We were not going to score. We were not going to come back. We were built in the Fisher days to, like, take a lead, and then we'd throw the ball down to make a crawl. But if we were down 20 points by the halftime, we were like, the likelihood of us coming back winning, like, it was like, oh, 30.
Well, I would say that, because we do, I mean, one thing I do like is that, the games that we've lost, we have come back in them, and not one of those fake comebacks in the fourth quarter where the other team has stopped trying. I wasn't as worried as you were because not necessarily because of us this game, but I feel like the Chargers run hot and cold. They start out really well, and then they slow down, and then they disappear in the second half, or they start out terribly, and then they come alive in the second half. And that's a Mike McCoy thing. I don't know if he's a good coach.
I agree with you on that one. He's not a good coach. Like, I honestly feel like every game they win is on Philip Rivers. That's because of Philip Rivers. It's nothing about his coaching at all. I just think that if Ken Whitmer was coaching him, I think because it's freaking like Philip Rivers, that he's still going to be running his offense. And, like, it's not going to be like how Ken Whitmer was being coached to us, where it's like Mariota, the quarterback, is having a choice. Like, Phillip Rivers, like, I can't see, like, Ken Whitmer saying, you're going to run my offense, and Phillip Rivers, like, yes, sir. Like, Phillip Rivers would be like, I've been here forever, I'm going to run it my way. So,
right, yeah.
So you're going to get games just because of freaking Phillip Rivers. So, what I saw is that, like, honestly, that loss, to me, this is my opinion, that loss wasn't based on, the competency or the ability of the Chargers versus the ability of the Titans. Like, I think on paper, which is a little better team, I think that loss was more attributed to history. That was history. It's just history. It's just something about San Diego in San Diego. I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is, but it's something. And it's a thing, and it's just tough. And I think that streak is just—it's going to be a really tough streak to break. Like, it's just—it's going to—I don't know if it's going to require Philip Rivers to retire enough to do do it a couple times to break that streak. But it's just a really tough streak to break. Like, for example, right? Remember when the Texans could never beat us? Ever?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And, like, the only time the Texans had a chance to beat us was, I remember, like, remember how, like, for example, remember when the Texans thought, oh, great, we finally got a chance to beat them. When Vince Young was the quarterback, you know, and Vince Young couldn't throw a pass, like, beyond 10 feet. And they were like, we finally have a chance to beat them. We finally have a chance to, and remember, they were, like, 20-something points, like, in Texas Stadium, right? Like, in Texas Stadium. And we came back and we beat them. And they were devastated. Like, they were devastated for years. And the first time they really beat us was after Vince left. It was after Vince left, after Kerry Collins left, when we had the transitional part, you know, when we didn't really know our quarterback was. And then they beat us. And then they beat us again, you know? And now it kind of flip-flopped.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, you have a point. So it's definitely a pendulum thing. It can be a pendulum thing for sure.
Yeah, it's a pendulum thing. It's just our pendulum thing. It's been for a while. But,
well, let's,
so, you know, the thing.
Go ahead.
So, like, the thing about it is, like, you know, again, like, you know, we lost the game. Other positive. I mean, you got to look at the fact. I think our running back was, you know, like, Murray was obviously hampered. Henry was gone.
Yeah.
That was a huge factor.
Yeah, because he was injured in warm-ups. Like, we didn't even get a chance.
Yeah, he was in warm-ups, yeah. He was in warm-ups, man.
So was Andrews activated at the last minute, or was he dressed anyway?
No, Andrews was always activated. Andrews played on special teams.
Okay.
Andrews, I will also say again, because even though he ran, like, two runs, like...
They were good.
Antonio, people are sleeping on Antonio Andrews. Like, something tells you, Antonio Andrews, that when he finally leaves this team and goes to somebody else's team, he is probably going to, like, be right up there in rushing yards.
I think,
like,
he's
never going to break.
He's never going to, what?
He's never going to, like, break any, like, he's never going to, like, break out, like, a 70-yard run. But, I mean, he gets you, like, 10 yards in a heartbeat.
Well, I think he is... You talked about Bishop Sankey earlier going to the Patriots, and now I forgot who signed Sankey, but I can see Andrews being a Patriots guy because he is a physical runner who, if things are blocked up right or if the play call is right, can get good yardage. He doesn't fumble. He knows how to block. He's the kind of guy I could definitely see. Yeah, he can play special teams. Like, he's a guy I think could play for a good team and do well. So,
I think he can play for a bad team and go well.
I think
that he needs, because if you really think about it, like, he had horrible blocking his first 2 years here, right? Like, we can all agree the run blocking sucked the first 2 years.
Yeah,
he still got yardage. And if Mularkey was the coach in Andrews' first 2 years, I'm almost positive Andrews would have got over 1,000 yards if he was the main focus of the backs, because he was rotating like that second year, and that first year he wasn't even ready to freaking play. But he just gets yardage, man. He runs tough, like, he's a tough, hard runner. Like, he had like two runs that were like that. He was stopped, like stop, and he pushed through and got like eight yards. I just think that the only thing, his only big problem is like that Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray in front of you. So it's just like, you know, that's just not going to happen. But he's a dude where I feel like when he gets that second team, like, sometimes you can look at a guy and just feel like, okay, the first team, yeah, I can do that. But when he gets that second team and somebody like actually looks at him at camp, you know, and he's compared to other people, like, if he doesn't have like an established starter in front of him, like, I think some coaches will look at Andrews and Kemp and be like, yeah, we're going to put him on the field. You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I just think I don't know how. I think a lot of running backs are like this. I think he gets tough yardage. I don't think he can break it away. But I think he gets tough yards. I can see him. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about, you know, our third running back. Yeah.
One point. Like, I built a perfect team for him, dude, and then we'll switch over. And that's Seattle.
I think he'd fit in with Pete Carroll, what he's trying to do there.
I think he'd be a great fit. Okay, we're moving on. Next topic.
Packers coming up. I don't know if the Packers are. I feel as if we're playing the NFC version of the Chargers. I mean, a team with a good quarterback. I don't know what else they have that's really good. Collectively. I mean, not to say. I mean, obviously, the Chargers have Antonio Gates, who's good, and Melvin Gordon can play, but. I mean, you get past Nelson, for the Packers on offense. I don't know what else they really have, and I mean defense they have Matthews, who's good, but
Matthews ain't playing.
Oh, is he not playing?
No, Matthews is injured.
So he's out. So Clay's out, and I mean. Ha-ha Clinton Dix is a solid safety. But, I mean, I don't think we're afraid of him, though. You know what I mean? So
no, we're not. It's just, I mean, really, honestly, that's just, this game is all going to hinge on on Rodgers and which Rodgers shows up.
Yeah.
That's basically it, which Rodgers shows up. He has shown, I mean, I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. He hasn't been the same this season. But I'm not gonna. I can't make a judgment call on. And I'm gonna stick to my pattern of not saying if we're gonna win or lose in the game. But I can't tell how I feel about this game. It could go either way.
Oh, it definitely could. It definitely could. I wonder if Rodgers is injured.
I don't know.
Because the way he's playing makes me think. He's just hurt. Like that. Like when I see a guy who's not, I mean, he's not in his mid-30s, and even if he were, he's a quarterback, who just starts playing poorly, inexplicably. I mean, I almost go the injury route, this point. And so I think that's what we're going to find out at the end of the season, if he gets surgery like the day after. Because he's not Aaron Rodgers that we remember. But I will say, that Super Bowl they won, I didn't realize it was 2011. Like, 5 years is kind of a long time if you're talking about, sports. If you just talk about in sports years, I mean, I didn't realize it was that long ago when he was, Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl champ. I mean, he's still good, and I don't think he's over the hill. But, I mean, like, that guy may not be this guy.
I don't know. I could see that, too. I just don't know, man. This is a conversation we're going to have to reserve to, after the game. Because yep. I can't tell.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to.
He can always, because he can flip the thing switch on you, man. Like, he can flip that switch on you in a heartbeat. So it's just really hard to tell exactly, which type of guy is going to show up.
He reminds me of a baseball hitter who could hit for power and hit for average and was patient at the plate. And now he's trying to hit for power. He's always going for these sort of home run type plays, and the hitting for average and the being patient stuff seems to go out the window. And that's what it appears. And I don't want to spend. And I know a lot of people have talked about Aaron Rodgers this year, and so I don't think we need to spend too much time on it. But I mean, we obviously gotta address it. But he seems like he's not being patient anymore. Like, he's trying to do things that he used to. He's making mental mistakes that older quarterback that he didn't make as a younger quarterback.
I agree. It's almost like a regression.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I will tell you this though, that if and I will focus on home attackers. But, I'll tell you this. If they don't get together, if they lose tomorrow And if they don't get it together, like Mike McCarthy may be in trouble.
I think so.
He might. Yeah, I think he might be in trouble. Aaron will be fine, but I think he might be in trouble. Let's focus on other issues. Let's focus on our team for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, is Henry back this game? I haven't heard anything to say that his calf is an issue. I feel like he'll be back.
Yeah, Henry practiced the last two or three practices. I can almost tell. I definitely want to make a statement on this one too. But I could tell that Henry was going to come back soon. Based on Mike McCarthy's comment, Malarkey's comment about it's a pain tolerance thing. Like when they asked him about, you know, how long does he think Henry's going to be out, and Malarkey was like, it depends upon how much, you know, calorie pain. I kind of figured Henry was going to come back sooner than expected. And that's one thing I want to point out about Malarkey that I think is like kind of a breath of fresh air and very weird. He is blunt about his players. Like, he would tell the media, this guy sucks, or he is not performing well, or he's not, you know, he's not, like, you know, doing what he needs to be or being in the position that he needs to be, which is very different than from what we're used to over the years.
Yeah, you know? Well,
like, he would call out his players in a heartbeat. And I think typically when he calls them out, they typically do respond.
Well, I think there's an art to it, to calling someone out in a way that's not showing them up. And
that's correct.
And doing it in a way that's not deflecting blame on off of yourself. Because I think sometimes when you call out players as a coach or even as a quarterback, it could seem like you're not trying to take your share of the blame. I think Malarkey does a good job with that.
He does. I mean, he will, and he's consistent with it. I mean, he's consistent with all of his players. Like, he will, like, say if Mariota does a great play, or if an interception is not on his fault, you know, he will mention it. But if Mariota, like, screws up, and if the interception isn't his fault, then Malarkey would say it in a way that's like a teaching moment. Say, this is what.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I really do like that.
Well, you're right about the teaching moment thing. I think that's a good point.
If you look at it, where in the very beginning when they said about the Mike Malarkey, I mean, I keep saying Malarkey. Yeah, Malarkey. But when in the very beginning when they took off the injury tag and made Malarkey the head coach, I was kind of looking at like, okay, it's like a stopgap thing. I mean, Malarkey didn't have much of a chance at the other two teams, you know, Jacksonville and Buffalo. But I wasn't like really kind of excited about it. You know, but like I'm seeing things where even if like I said, you know, during our text session with my class, like even if we go 6-10, you know, the rest of the season, right? Even if it happens, I'm seeing things I like that I'd rather watch them build on this, you know, where I can see where we can go based on what I've seen just this season, you know, where. None of the games so far that I've seen, I can say, oh, we lost because of coaching. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's a good point. Yeah.
Say that the game. Like I honestly can't say that out of our losses, I can look at it and say this is a horrible coaching decision.
Yeah, I mean, we could second guess some plays, but you're right. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, I don't know if we've ever lost because of bad coaching, or Malarkey like, do something like, stupid where you're just like, what are you doing? So that's a good point.
I have not seen that, man. Like, I mean, like that. I mean, the 2-minute drive is run to perfection. I mean, it almost bothers me that we don't do this more.
Let's talk a little bit about that because before we started recording, you and I talked about how we wanted to discuss the resurgence of our receivers, and obviously, you know, we still need speed at the position, but our receivers, I mean, Sharp and Wright are good. Or, you know, they're not guys. You know, it's not like our cornerbacks where, like last year where you knew, all right, next year they're not going to be with us. Like, I think Sharp can play. I think Wright, I mean, obviously we're both Wright fans. Yeah, so I just, I mean, we just need, I feel like those two guys, do what?
We got to talk about Matthews, man. Matthews had a surgery.
Yeah, I don't know, because he was in Miami, right?
Yeah, Matthews was in Miami.
He was a third
wide receiver there. He was not starting. And he started out slow in the season. He started out slow the season, where I was like, I don't really know how this is going to be. But these last four games, he scored five touchdowns. He scored five touchdowns in the last four games. The leading touchdown, leading amount of touchdowns this season by wide receiver, I think it's like six or seven. So he's like right there, and like the amount of touchdowns for wide receiver in a league.
Yeah,
his yardage has picked up to where. Like I think he's averaging like 10 yards a catch, you know.
He's great in the red zone too.
He's great in the red zone, and he's made some clutch catches.
Yeah,
and he's a big guy. Like I do think that was a hit right there to me. Like I from a three reading standpoint, if he can continue this ascension to where Mariota trusts him, like and if they can get this dang deep ball together, that's a whole other discussion.
Well,
but
yeah,
I think if he can continue this ascension, then all we need, then basically, in my mind, even though I still want a wide receiver in the draft, and if Mike Williams is there, I still say we take him. But it's not like I feel where a wide receiver is like a first or second round priority, you know, to me, if it continues this way. And also, big caveat here. And if we also, like, re-sign Wright, which is a big deal to me. But I will say that, and I don't know if I got to attribute some to Mr. Trubisky, you know, by being here, because he's a wide receiver guru. Like, they have been playing better, you know? Like, they have been playing better. Like, you haven't seen, like, do you know, here's the weirdest fact to you. Do you know that this season we are, like, leading the league and, like, no drops. Like, as far as in drops. We don't have that many drops this year.
I didn't know that. You know?
Yeah, we're, like, near the top. In, like, the groups of teams that have the fewest drops by the wide receivers.
Yeah.
Which is so odd because we used to always be the team that had drops.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like we are... Like the more you watch, you know, this team, it's like it does feel like one draft away from being really good.
Yeah, one draft away, dude. I really feel like if you can keep this core unit, we've got to do something in the secondary.
Like I agree, but let's go back to the Packers game real fast because I feel like every time we do this, we always lapse into if in the draft we need to get, you know, and I don't want us to overdo that. We definitely need to do a draft only podcast, but
after the season.
But tomorrow, what do you think? What are you going to be looking at? During the game, because I know me. After last week's game, and after our group texts, I'm going to be looking at the linebackers. Our inside linebackers. So that's what I'm going to be looking at, just because I think when you get gashed in the running game, I mean, it's a front seven thing, but I feel like it's mainly a linebacker thing. And so
yeah,
I don't think that they're that bad, but I am going to keep my eye on them a little bit.
Don't be too legal now, because, like, I saw this point on Bleacher Report, and it's a good point, too, that, like, you got to think of that, like, we faced, like, good running backs this entire season, and, like, Melvin Gordon's the first one. I mean, it just happens, dude. It just happens. Every once in a while, it just freaking happens. I don't expect that's going to be a trend. I do think one thing I would like us to see is I would like – even though I like Wesley Witter, you know, in the middle, he's been doing a good job. He's been doing a really, really good job. I would like to see another bigger linebacker to basically put next to Williamson, so we can have more of a true, like 3-4 like set. We probably need a little bit more, another better cover linebacker. Rodney's, you know, our friend, who's also part of Group Sex, his comment about, like, you know, about the linebackers being the tight end part, you know, on the side. Like, if you really watch that game, and I think this kind of goes back to the Dick LeBeau's team, if you really watch that game, it's like, the way he blitzes so often, like, it's just going to happen where you're going to have, like, the middle being free sometimes. It's just going to happen. Like, a lot, it's just going to happen.
Are you talking about for tight ends?
As far as tight ends.
Well, like, I'll say... And I'll say this, too. I think Wisenhunt schemed well. Because, I mean, he's been, you know, coaching against LeBeau in practice for years. I mean, before they were Titans coaches. I think he was just like, you know what, we're going to – because they ran a lot of draw plays. And then he's basically like, all right, he's going to blitz here, so I'm just going to draw. We're just going to do a draw play.
That is a really good point that I did not think about, Dick. That's a very, very, very good point. That makes a lot of sense, and you are absolutely correct.
Yeah,
correct. Because, like, you are absolutely correct. Because he calls some draw plays where we have blitz, which allowed a lot of chunks of yards by Melvin Gordon because he didn't have anybody back. Yeah, that's a very, very good point, man.
Well, you know,
I did not think of it like that.
Well, based on that, then I'm not. You're right. I'm not going to watch the linebackers on TV. I think I'm going to go back to the line. Watch my man Derek Morgan do his thing, and then maybe make sure Arakpo is still on track for the Pro Bowl, and Casey doing his thing. Like honestly, Arakpo, Casey, and Morgan should all get votes for the Pro Bowl. I think Arakpo is probably going to end up going. I don't know who else in the AFC, you know, a defensive tackle. Is up there with Casey, but I think Casey's playing great.
I think Morgan's playing like the best season of his career.
Yeah, yeah, he's always been good.
I think he's always been consistently good.
I think when he retires, he'll be one of the most underrated Titans.
I agree with you.
You know, because he doesn't get the big numbers, so. All right,
he always gets pressure. He always gets pressure. He's always there. He always makes a tackle. He's made a huge sacrifice by training by transforming his body from a defensive end to a linebacker.
Yeah,
like, you just look at him physically. Like, physically, he looks like a completely different person from when he first came here.
Yeah, yeah, like, he's really good.
You know, and the fact that you think about that first year he transitioned to a linebacker, when he still had the body of a freaking defensive end, like, is a big down. Is a big. You know, like four technique defensive end. Like, he still had that basic body that he was out there running around linebacker and still did a decent job.
Yeah.
It's pretty freaking impressive, man.
Right, right. I mean, we talk about Patriot guys. Like, I mean, he definitely fits that mold of a guy who
definitely fits.
He can play whatever position you ask him to, and he will, and he's not going to complain about it. He'll work hard at it. I mean, yeah, he's great. Really fast. I mean, we're at the 50-minute mark.
Yeah, and I gotta hit on this now. Key just texted me about this about the pinball thing.
Right. Yeah. I know. Well, we'll finish up with this. What are you looking at for offense? Like,
I'm gonna look at. I'm gonna see if Rashad Matthews still trends up toward me for me. I think he has been trending up for a while. I'm gonna look at Mariota. I'm going with Mariota, man. I'm different than some of the so-called hardcore fans. If I expect the guy to make mistakes, I think it's just gonna happen. I think people just have too high of expectations on second-year players.
Well, fair enough.
Make mistakes.
I'm gonna look at our guards because I feel as if, you know, I'm not worried about LaJuan and Conklin. And I think our line is good, but it just seems like at this point in the season, our run game is getting stuffed a little bit more. Murray's still having a great season and everything, but I just want to check out the – I'm going to really focus on our blocking. I mean, is
– Well, you also got to remember, you got to take into account, man, that Quinn Spain has been out for the last couple of games.
Oh, yeah, I know. Right.
It's been like and even still, like with Swinky being in the Jacksonville game, like we still have a ton of yards in the running game.
We did. I mean – Schwinky just, he only made the really bad, where he got beat a couple games ago.
Correct.
Against the Raiders, I think cost that. Yeah, but other than that, he hasn't played terribly, but I am going to keep my eye on the interior lineman.
I got you.
On offense.
I got you.
All right, really fast, culture picks. What are you listening to, watching, what are you into right now?
I'm going to probably go see the Arrival at some point in time this weekend. It's an adult version of a more adult, more of a dramatic version of an alien invasion.
Hmm.
It's gotten really, really good review. They say that Amy Adams gives a blockbuster performance. And so I'm probably actually shockingly not going to watch it online, but probably watch it at a theater. So we shall see how that goes. That's my culture pick for this podcast. It's The Arrival in a theater near you. Try not to do IMAX because you waste your money. But
yeah, that's you do love IMAX, and we always leave a little disappointed when we go to the IMAX.
A little disappointed. But yeah, we consistently go. What about you, son? What is your culture pick for the podcast?
Yeah, I was. The whole time you're talking, I'm trying to think, and I think what I'm going to go with. I feel as if I'm, a little podcast heavy in my suggestions, but I think a good podcast to listen to is the Cracked Podcast. It's a comedy discussion, but they hit on a lot of. Really interesting, social issues, and they've had, so far the best election podcast where they discuss, it's neither this, hand-wringing end of the world or, oh, it's a celebration, everything's great, but a really good discussion on what people on both sides of the political marker, how they view politics and how they view the world, and do it in a humorous way, an engaging way. And they have several good several good discussions on, looking at the world through pop culture and basically using that as a prism to understand, different trends that are going on, whether they're shopping trends. Or anything like that. So, Cracked Podcast. If you haven't listened to that, it's really good. And Jason Pargent, I think his pen name is David Wong, who wrote John Dies at the End and several other books. He actually recently moved to Nashville, so he's on the podcast. Very funny guy, very interesting writer. And so that's my culture pick of the week.
That sounds cool.
Right.
So tell people that listen to that, go check it out.
Yeah, for sure, and I guess that's it for this week. We will meet up next week to discuss the aftermath, good or bad, of the Packers game. So, really fast, Jonathan, your Twitter. What's your?
I don't even know my Twitter.
I think it's at Fonzarelli. Mine is
I don't really tweet. Well, I do not tweet on Facebook.
Well, but either way, well, mine is at Nick X Bush. Feel free to follow. I will be posting the podcast on there in about an hour or so. And
then we'll have an actual Facebook for the actual podcast.
Yeah.
So that way we can
Yeah, we'll get that. We'll get that up. And if you are in the Nashville area and you don't mind staying up late Monday night, I will be at Third Coast Comedy doing the Roast the Host night. I will not be the host, but I'll be up there performing. So, all right, that is it for today. We will, we will talk to y'all next week. Have a good rest of the weekend, guys. Thanks.
We good.